Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Belmont. Hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. We got to try it again. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's right. That's right. Hey, if it's your first time joining us this morning, let me say welcome to you. We thank you for being here this morning as we worship Jesus Christ together. Here at Belmont, we want you to believe in the risen Savior. We want you to belong to a community of believers. And we want you to become exactly who God has created you to be. All right, if you're joining us outside, as Joel mentioned, let me encourage you to check out our welcome tent, connect with one of the leaders. If you haven't already, be sure to text to connect. If you have kids, we've got our Belmont Kids tent set up for you. If you're online joining us, hey, welcome, good morning. Let me encourage you to connect with one of our online hosts. Let me also encourage you to jump in the chat, maybe shout some folks out, throw out some hashtags. We want you to engage with us this morning. All right. For those who don't know, my name is Wes. I'm an elder here at Belmont and also the community group's director. And I have the honor and privilege of bringing you God's word this morning. If it is your first time this morning, we have been going through a three-part series entitled Unconventional, right? There's so many things in our lives, and I think everyone would agree, that's unconventional right now, right? Our jobs may be unconventional. Perhaps what the church looks like today is unconventional. For some of you seeing or hearing me through this video camera, that may seem unconventional, right? I think I've already heard like 8 people say this morning that me having on this suit and tie this morning is unconventional. So I'll unbutton a little bit just to, you know, keep it loose. We'll keep it loose this morning. But that may be unconventional. Or perhaps it's unconventional that we didn't sing any worship songs this morning, right? We're jumping straight into the message, straight into God's word. For others, perhaps it's unconventional that I'm standing outside in a suit preaching to you when there's a big building behind me that we could all be in, right? Maybe, just maybe, it's unconventional that we unknowingly or perhaps knowingly box Jesus into a 1-hour time slot on a Sunday morning. You see, our goal with this sermon series is to remind us that while things may seem unconventional, that's okay, right? It's okay for things to be unconventional. What we want to do as believers is always point back to Jesus Christ, right? Even if things are unconventional, as long as it's glorifying and honoring and uplifting Jesus Christ, it's okay. In the first part of our series, we talked about unconventional believing. All right, last week, Pastor John unpacked what it looks like to have unconventional becoming. We sent off a family, shout out to the Johnsons family, if y'all are checking in online, good morning. We sent off a family to Pittsburgh, all right, where there really aren't any churches there. They're planning a church all the way in Pittsburgh, about 7 hours away. Now, for some of you, that may be unconventional, right, that we would send off a family and support them to plant a church in an area where I don't even think they know anybody, all right? So that's pretty unconventional. Today, we're going to be talking about unconventional belonging. We're actually going to take a look at the first believers, the first Christians, back in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to look at their prescriptive or maybe descriptive way that they looked at biblical community, how they modeled biblical community. All right? So as we work through Acts chapter 2, I'm actually going to be bringing the word from chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. And we're going to go through a message entitled, A New Sense of Belonging. Let's pray. Father God, wow. Another day that we have to be not only on your earth, but that we're awake, that we're clothed in our right mind, that we have the opportunity this morning to worship you, to honor you, to give you praise, Lord. I first and foremost submit myself fully and wholly to you. Lord, this day, this message, everything that I'm saying, Lord, it's for you. I want it to be about you. I want it to be for your people. Lord, open our hearts and minds to be receptive of the message this morning. Lord, if there's someone that's here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, that isn't sure what biblical community looks like or how to belong to a community of believers, Lord, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus that through the message they would come to understanding what that looks like, that they would want to get plugged in and deepen their relationship or start a relationship with you. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and we need you. And it's in Jesus' mighty name I pray. And the church said, amen, amen. A new sense of belonging. So it's no secret that the pandemic has changed the way we do community these days, right? I remember actually back in March when the pandemic first hit, and it was like, hey, community groups, small groups, that's important to us here at Belmont, right? And it was like, as the director, what do we do? Are we going to use this thing called Zoom and video conferencing? And actually, I think that took the cake for some of you in terms of unconventional, when it's like, hey, you know what? Join us on Monday on Zoom so you can see everybody, right? But the neat thing was, I don't remember everyone who was on that first Zoom call that we had with our community group. But what I do vividly remember is the excitement and the look on everyone's faces when we're using this unconventional way to see each other. I think it was probably a month or two. I hadn't seen my boy Darius D. And just seeing that smile, seeing his face, really reminded me of how important this biblical community concept is. And so as we unpack Acts chapter 2, I want you to just pay attention to what that first community of believers is doing, all right? I'm going to invite some special guests up here with me today. This isn't all the West show this morning. This is the church show. This is Jesus' show. And so I have some really special guests who are going to join me. And they're going to unpack this whole concept of a new sense of belonging, right? They're going to tell you what it looks like for them to have biblical community in terms of as it relates to the 3 points we have this morning. And we do have 3 points. So if you're taking notes, I see a couple notebooks out here. You can use your phone to take notes. If you're online, open up that Word app. Or if you like PowerPoint, you can just create your PowerPoint notes right there. First point is sense of devotion. Online host, do me a favor, put these points in the chat for me. Number one, sense of devotion. Number two, sense of generosity. And number three, sense of praise. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up, Acts chapter 2, or you can pull out your smartphones and open that Bible app. I'm going to go ahead and read all of the verses for us, beginning in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's see what we can find this morning about how unconventional perhaps these first believers were. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone, not just one person, but everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. So point number one is a sense of devotion, right? The believers had a sense of devotion. They were devoted, or in other words, they were loving or loyal. And how do we know that they were believers? It's a question that came to my mind. How do we know? And well, in the verses prior to this, Peter is actually strongly urging the Israelites to repent of their sins and be baptized. He's proclaiming the gospel to this group of people. He's urging them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and after doing so, they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who accepted this call to saving faith in Christ were baptized, and they became believers, the first Christians. So then I had the question, well, what were they devoted to, all right? The Bible tells us clearly and plainly that these first believers were devoted to the apostles' teaching. Now, this word apostle, you can also say that it means those entrusted by Jesus to help organize the church and spread the message of his teachings. If you're a scholar here this morning, I see a couple of scholars out here, and there's probably a few online. The word apostle comes from the Greek word apostello, meaning a messenger or one sent on a mission. So they were devoted, the first Christians were devoted to the messenger's teaching, to fellowship, to being in community, to the breaking of bread or sharing of food, and to prayer. So what does this look like for us today? I mean, does that sound unconventional to anybody? A couple of you? Does that sound unconventional? Yeah. Is it unconventional that a group of believers would actually be devoted to something they believe in? What does it actually look like for us to have a sense of devotion in 2020? I'm going to actually ask my first special guest, if he's available, Mr. Keegan, if you will join me up front, if you want to grab the mic. Keegan is actually going to share with us what having a sense of devotion looks like for him. If you don't know Keegan, he and his wife Carissa, they lead a community group, and they also are behind the scenes making sure our audiovisual equipment is running optimally. So Keegan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your sense of devotion and what that looks like to you?
Well, thank you. And yeah, I'm Keegan, also known as Carissa's husband. And what's kind of funny is about a year ago, we were really going through some difficult times in our lives. We felt lonely, isolated, and Carissa and I, we kind of interact or react to things differently when it comes to stuff like that. She kind of thrives on that community, but, you know, contradictory, I actually like to withdraw. You know, when I'm hurting, I just want to hang in the house by myself, you know, and so it's kind of funny. When we got here, I kind of had this attitude of, well, yeah, we can go there on Sundays, but rest of the week, I'm going to hang out home. But what happened when we got here is that a lot of people actually came up, and not only did they introduce themselves to us, but they asked about us. They actually got to know us. They took the time to answer real questions, not just the generic, hey, how are you? Is this your first time visiting? It was more of like, hey, tell us about yourself. And when we told them what was going on, they seemed to really listen. So when we got invited to a community group, it was a lot different than what I was expecting. And what the difference was is I think we were a community group of people living life together. You know, we're not perfect Christians. None of us are. There's only one perfect Christian. And what's nice about a community group is that we were able to see that others are struggling. We're coming together to worship Christ and to learn about him, to study the word, but we're also sharing our struggles with each other, and that is a huge part of it. So, you know, just staying devoted together to each other, that has been so helpful to us in this time that we've gone through. So, yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Keegan. Hey, if you're online, do me a favor. Yeah. Do me a favor if you're online, jump in the chat, and I want you to hashtag for me, hashtag sense of devotion. There are some of you this morning who actually lack a sense of devotion. That's right. I may not know who it is, but you know, if you lack this sense of devotion, I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions. Ask yourself, are you devoted to the teachings that you hear on Sunday mornings? Are you devoted to the teachings you hear about within the community groups? Are you devoted to fellowship? I mean, do you love getting together with God's people? Do you love showing up on a Sunday morning to spend time in fellowship with Christ? Are you devoted to being part of a group, even if it is on Zoom? Do you make it a point to have breakfast, lunch, dinner, coffee on a regular basis with your friends and family and people in the church? Are you loyal when it comes to praying for others? Now, sure, some of you, you know, you answered yes to all those questions. And look, I commend you. Awesome. Great job. Keep it up. For those of you who perhaps answered no to one or more of those questions, let me encourage you right now and challenge you to get in the game. As Keegan just shared, it would have been very easy for him and his wife, Carissa, to just walk away, to say, hey, you know what? I don't want to be devoted to a church. I don't want to be devoted to a community group. But they didn't do that, all right? They became devoted, and as you heard, the relationship with Christ, the relationship with others really started to flourish. I wonder what it would look like for all of us to have a new sense of devotion starting right now. I wonder what it would look like if we all began developing a new sense of devotion to our church family. I wonder what it would look like if we began seeing new wonders and new signs within our church because we had such a high sense of devotion to one another, just like the early believers did, just like those first Christians did. You know, I think we would see some wonders and signs, but it's going to require a sense of devotion. Point number two is a sense of generosity. We pick up in verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had a need. You know, some people have heard this verse or read this scripture, and they think it's like an early communism, right? Or a society in which all property is publicly owned and each person works and is paid according to their abilities and needs. But, you know, that's a fallacy, all right? That's actually clearly not the case. And how do I know this? Great question, Joel. I'll tell you. Number one, because the giving was voluntary, all right? The first believers, they weren't compelled by the government. They weren't compelled by the church leaders to give. It was voluntary. And number two, we know that people still had possessions, right? They still had their homes. As a matter of fact, if you keep on reading, you'll see that's where they met, in their homes. So sometimes we can read this and think, you know, everybody went home and sold everything they had. That's not necessarily the case. Giving away your private property, it's not commanded or implied here. On the other hand, there is voluntary generosity in sharing possessions that really is seen as commendable, right? I don't want you to leave this morning. I don't want you to be like, you know what? Wes read these verses, so I got to go pack up everything, sell my house, sell my car, and give it to the needy. Now, certainly, if you leave here and the Lord lays that on your heart to do, well, then bless you, brother and sister. You go in Godspeed and sell all your possessions and give to the needy. I want to give you another example of what this generosity among Christians looks like. So I'm going to just jump over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want you to pay attention. I'm going to read verses 9 through 15, which says this: "For you, Bill, for you, Keith, know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, Melissa, for your sake, Seth, he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means, according to what you have. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one doesn't have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed," right? We don't want you to go sell your house so that someone else can be relieved and then you're hard-pressed. "But our desire is that there might be equality." And this is a word you hear a lot right now in 2020, this whole diversity, equity, inclusion, equality, right? And it's talked about in the Bible. "At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need." All right? The goal is equality, as it is written, The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. The early believers, they understood and had a sense of generosity. They understood that when you voluntarily give to the Lord's work, it brings much blessing. You know, I reason that these first Christians were able to generously give in part because they knew the needs of others. So let me encourage you as an elder here that if you have a need, we want to know about it, all right? The leaders want to know about it. And why is that important? Because unfortunately, I can't read everyone's mind, all right? And I don't really want to be honest. But I do want to know your needs. The leaders, the elders, the deacons, they want to know your needs so that we can give generously to you. And I understand that sometimes those needs may be particular. You may only want to share with one or two people. Well, that's why you have community group leaders. That's why it's important to be plugged in, because you could talk to them or reach out to one of the elders. And this really will just help us be the church, right? I want to share a quick story before I call up our next special guest about a church I once heard of, all right? This particular church was small in stature. They were small in comparison to other churches in the area, all right? But they had a huge, I mean, enormous heart. And more importantly, they had a heart for people in need. Like many churches, though, when the pandemic hit, they had to make some tough decisions, right? I mean, they had to ask some questions, you know, should they close the doors or keep them open? What should they do about children's ministries and teen ministries and all these other ministries? How would they stay connected to one another? Would they use online services or Zoom? Maybe the biggest question, would they still continue to support the church financially? I mean, this seemed to be a large question because a lot of people, there was some limbo with jobs and perhaps where my next check is going to come from, right? Well, as the story goes, the leaders of the church, they just knew that these people had a generous heart and perhaps an unconventional heart towards giving. And so they set out during this pandemic to set up a Be the Church offering. And do you know that the congregation, they showed up and showed out? I think they originally set a goal. That's right, sister. I hear you in the back clapping. I think they originally set a goal of $5,000 to raise. And they exceeded that far, far beyond what the leaders were even anticipating, right? And I'm not, if this is your first time joining, look, I'm not telling you this story to brag or boast. By the way, if you don't know who I'm talking about you guys, all right? I'm talking about Belmont, right? I'm not sharing to brag or boast on our church. What I am doing is wanting to give you an example of what can happen when you have this biblical community. What can happen when a group of believers strives for a common goal? We can collect unconventional amounts, and maybe more importantly, we can do things in an unconventional, generous way. At this time, I'm actually going to ask another one of our special guests, a good friend of mine, Ed Shepherd, to come up and share with you guys. Ed, he helps us with our online ministry, and he's going to give you a personal example of how belonging to a community group has helped him understand this concept of generosity and how he has seen a new sense of belonging over the last several months. So for my online crew, why don't you go ahead and hashtag in the chat a new sense of generosity. Ed?
Yep. So can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? Yep, okay. So my wife and I have been coming to the church for probably about 4+ years now, and we've been in and out of groups, what have you, and this lovely couple, Bill and Evelyn, showed up at the church and immediately got plugged in, opened up their home, they shared their time, even poured into myself and my wife, and being part of a men's group or a women's group, we really, really enjoyed that. Then COVID hit, right? And things started closing down rather than opening up for us. And what was amazing about that was Bill and Evelyn still really poured into us, poured into the church. Then we got connected with Wes's group through Zoom, right? And what was really amazing was rather than feeling less connected with the church in a time when we couldn't get face-to-face, by being a part of Bill and Evelyn's men's and women's group, being a part of Wes's community group, we actually felt more connected to the church than we had ever felt before, in a time when you were supposed to not be connected at all, right? And then as we were going through this, we heard that others in the church were struggling or of need. And so my wife and I worked with Bill and Evelyn, and then we wanted to do something to show that we were thankful for what they had done. We opened up our home, and we had a men's and a women's group, one-day event. And, you know, Bill and I, when we first started it, we were like, oh, is anybody even going to come to this thing, right? We didn't get very many responses. It seemed a little bit unorganized. But, you know, just by opening our doors and really just being patient and waiting on God, right? We had probably two or three times more people come for the women's and the men's group than we ever thought would happen. And just by us being willing to be generous in a time when we didn't even know what the heck we were doing, right? It really did pay dividends. And as I look across now, I see that it seems like in a time when we shouldn't be growing, looks like we're even growing more because of the generosity of others that are now opening up themselves for this too. So just really amazing to see. Yeah.
Of generosity. Hey, let me just pause real quick. And hey, I want to thank you all again, just for your generosity. I hear a lot of stories about what's going on in the community groups, how you guys are giving to one another, and even outside of our church, how you guys are very supportive. And let me just say thank you. And, you know, I really appreciate it, and I know the elders and the leaders here at Belmont do. All right. And if you didn't have a chance to perhaps give to that particular offering, let me just encourage you right now to get plugged into a community group. You're hearing the stories, all right, and you see that there's opportunities for you to be generous, right? There's opportunities for you to feel what this sense of generosity is like. The early church in Acts, they were gathering together primarily to be generous to the needs of others. These first Christians are really giving us an example of how the gospel of Jesus Christ can rearrange everything, all right? They're giving us an example of how the gospel can rearrange our finances, how the gospel can rearrange our relationships, how the gospel can rearrange our attachments and our possessions, the things we hold dear to us. These communal arrangements aren't necessarily meant to model how all of us should transfer wealth, right, within our communities. What it is showing us is what radical change looks like, all right? Unconventional changes brought about by the Holy Spirit. When you come into a new sense of belonging, it inevitably will lead you to want to be more generous, to want to get plugged in. And I guarantee you, if you do that, you will see God's grace over your life, a sense of generosity. Brings us to our final point this morning, a sense of worship. The believers in Acts chapter 2, they definitely had a sense of worship, all right? We're going to pick back up in verse 46. Every day, not one day, not once a month, not twice a year, but every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. All right, check this out. What were they doing? Praising God. Did y'all catch that? Everybody say, praising God. Jump in the chat. I want you to hashtag that. Praising God. They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The key words, which is why I wanted you to repeat it there, is praising God. All right. One of the characteristics of true improvement in your spiritual condition is the desire to spend more and more time worshiping God. I think most of y'all missed that. So let me repeat that just in case you missed it. One of the characteristics of true improvement in your spiritual condition is a desire to spend more and more time worshiping God. We see the first Christians model this clearly for us. The verses say every day they were attending temple or being the church together. I think it's safe to say the first Christians would agree probably that our 2020 way of being the church or doing church is unconventional, right? No? Maybe? The fact of the matter is, here at Belmont, we have so many ways for you to get plugged in and to serve and belong and be on mission that you could really mirror what the early believers were doing. You could mirror what those first Christians, how they attended church or how they were being the church on a daily basis. So check this out. On Monday, you could go to Derek and Becca's community group, or you could go holla at Keegan, who you just met, Keegan and Carissa. They're doing sermon recap. Then on Tuesdays, you could drive over to Evelyn's house and check out the women's group, right? On Wednesdays, meet us over at Highland Park. We're going to learn about Jesus. We're going to pray about Jesus. Bring your children, bring your teens, bring your adults. It's a Jesus fest, all right? Thursdays, you can go see my main man, Bill. Bill and Ed, they lead a men's group. You could go check them out, all right? Fridays, Christians training Christians. We just finished a series not too long ago in Romans. I mean, we're having that's unconventional. Who does Bible study on Fridays? Two, three, four, five people, and they're all part of my group, I think. That's unconventional, right? Saturdays, you could go holla at Don and David and serve on the least of these ministries. You could check out my wife on the care team and help her with sending out notes and calling people. Sunday, you could be back here to hear me preach, probably Pastor John, preach the word of God, right? And you could serve on the AV team. You could serve on the hospitality team. There are so many ways for you to get involved and practice biblical community. And you talk about having the favor of all men. The Bible says, verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. If you did all of that, look, I guarantee you, you're going to have the favor of everyone out here, right? And I bet for some of us, we probably look back and you say, you know what, Wes, hold on. What they were doing in the early church, you know, Wes, that's a little unconventional, right? I mean, I've got too much going on. There's no way I'm going to everybody's community group and serving on every ministry, right? That's a little bit too much. But you know what? I believe firmly this is why God added to their number daily those that were being saved. I mean, just imagine someone that doesn't know Jesus coming into contact with a believer who was belonging and serving and had that sense of worship every single day, right? To see that level of devotion to Jesus, that level of generosity towards others, I mean, that wouldn't just be life-changing for you, but that would be life-changing for the person who's looking at your life and saying, hey, what does it look like to model or emulate Jesus Christ? What does it look like to have a life like Christ and to have a high, high sense of worship towards Jesus? I got another special guest. I'm full of special guests this morning. I'm going to call my good friend Christy Shepherd up here. She's actually Ed's better half. I got a lot of amens on that. And so Christy and Ed, they work behind the scenes, making sure our online crew is running optimally. And so, you know, for some, having a church live streamed, I think they would say that's unconventional, right? However, for others, it's a key way that they keep their sense of worship intact, all right? So Christy's going to give us a personal story right now about what having a sense of worship means to her. For my online crew, go ahead and type in the chat, hashtag it for me, sense of worship. Christy?
So over the past few months, an unconventional form of worship for me has been participating on Church Online, which occurs every Sunday on three different platforms, Facebook, YouTube, and our Church Online website. And at the end of July, Wes asked Ed and I to take over the online hosting team. And to be honest, Wes, I was like, I don't think this is going to last too long because COVID restrictions are going to ease up. People are going to come back to church. But to be honest, we've got half our congregation here and half online still. And we're, I don't know, like 6 months out of when COVID hit. So I've definitely seen the need for this team as time has gone on. This team currently consists of 8 members who have been faithfully hosting since March. And huge shout out to that team. Their role is vital on Sunday mornings. And I'd compare it to welcoming people to your house. They greet attendees by name and show them how to get connected to Belmont. This may seem like a small task, but I want you to imagine walking into someone's house and no one being there. The feeling is kind of awkward, and it honestly makes you want to leave because of this sense of intrusion and lack of interaction. As we have been welcomed by Jesus into the kingdom of God, here at Belmont, we want to do the same, even if that means unconventionally welcoming one another online. If you're like me and have been feeling a bit disconnected from people due to COVID restrictions, I'd encourage you to join our team of online hosts. Personally, being an online host has reminded me of the gospel's reach and how it is not limited to buildings, but it is able to meet all of us right where we're at. If you're interested in being a part of this ministry, please see Ed or I after service, email us at teams@belmontlife.org, or note it in your connection card, and thank you for considering this ministry.
Amen. So a sense of worship. The first believers, they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. I mean, even our online ministry has the opportunity to enjoy each other and to get plugged in, as Christy just relayed. Perhaps it's time for all of you, even myself, to get a new sense of belonging. All right, and start praising God and enjoying the favor of community and doing life in fellowship with other believers. A sense of devotion, a sense of generosity, a sense of worship. You know, for some of you, my prayer is that you were convicted this morning by your lack of devotion. For some of you, my prayer is that you realize this morning that, like the early believers in Acts, it is time for you to get in the game. For others, my prayer is that you felt inspired by the testimonies you just heard from Ed or Christy or Keegan. That you would understand that, hey, while those are their personal stories, you could have a personal story of your own as it relates to community. And lastly, my prayer is for all of us that we would at least feel challenged, right? Feel challenged to rise up to the call to believe in a risen Savior that has died for us, to be challenged to rise up and be the person God has called you to be, that you would be challenged to rise up and to join the fellowship of believers right here, right now. For those of you who are watching online or out here in the courtyard who may not know Jesus, look, I'm here to tell you, Jesus can change your heart, amen? Wes can't do it. This message that you're hearing right now, that can't do it. But Jesus can change your heart. You may be here today and you may say, hey, Wes, guess what? You know what? That's a great message, and I hear you, but before I get in the game, I need Jesus to do a work in me, all right? And Jesus has the ability to do that. He has the ability to forgive you of your sins and to give you a faith that is everlasting. So if you're here this morning and you're under the sound of my voice and you say, hey, Wes, Jesus is doing something in my heart right now, let me encourage you to find me after the service if you're out in the courtyard. Find Bill. He's an elder here at Belmont. If you're online, our hosts are going to drop a salvation link. If you want to know about having a relationship with Christ, how Jesus can change your life and give you this new sense of belonging, click that link for me. You could get some live, in real-time prayer, all right? I want us all to leave here ready to experience this new sense of belonging. But before we leave, I'm not finished yet. I got more special guests. Y'all thought it was over, but I got you. I got two more special guests. Logan and Tyler Walker are going to come join me. They've recently, well, not recently, I guess it's been a few months now that they've been affiliated and a part of Belmont. And so for them, this whole concept of a new sense of belonging would be pretty cool to hear from, right? Because it's not Wes who's been here, been a part of the church, but I think it'll be beneficial for all of you to hear what it looks like, what it sounds like to have a new sense of belonging for a couple that is fairly new here. So, Tyler, Logan.
My name is Tyler. This is my wife, Logan. We have daughter Kennedy and two boys, Levi and David. They're around here somewhere. So I'll give you a little backstory. So we first started attending Belmont for about 3 weeks pre-COVID. So traditional worship, kids into kids' life, you know, we felt very welcomed. But we found ourselves, you know, just starting to meet some people, and then COVID hit. So church is off completely, you know, for, I guess, a couple of weeks. You know, and then to make things even more crazy, Kennedy, our daughter, was born in July, so kind of right in the middle of COVID. That was challenging in itself. But when we were finally able to get back into things, Wes reached out to us and wanted to meet us for the first time via Zoom. And so that was interesting, since I mean, I've done Zoom through work and everything, but it's typically with people I'm comfortable, you know, I'm familiar with, I know. So it was interesting meeting Wes for the first time. And then we met Carissa and Keegan via Zoom also. And we just kind of dove right in with that and embraced it. And then we did life group for a few weeks via Zoom with Darius and some other folks. And then we actually had a cookout at our home and got to meet these people in person for the first time. And so that was obviously nice to finally meet in person and do that. And but it's just been overwhelming, the amount of kindness y'all have showed to us through the birth of our daughter. We had people we had never even met, you know, signing up for the meal train, delivering meals to our homes. And we had just never, I've never seen kindness like that before to someone that I've never met. So that was really neat to see, and just the open arms y'all have showed us.
I'll follow that really quick. There were multiple ladies too who had reached out via text and email that I hadn't even met once before, just asking if our family needed anything. So we really appreciated that even during these times. Tyler and I just kind of want to encourage you that even in these times, you can find community in the church. If you're new, if you've been here for a while, it does take effort. But if you do it, it's definitely well worth it. And we're so glad we did.
That's awesome.
So hopefully now, prayerfully, you're ready to get in the game. You're ready to experience this new sense of belonging. All right. And if you have belonged for years and years, look, it could be unconventional that you actually are going to go after and seek this new sense of belonging. Even for myself, as I was studying, preparing for this message, I was convicted, all right? So it's not this message isn't just for all of you, it's for me too. And I was sitting back thinking, how do I need a new sense of belonging, all right? The first Christians gave us a descriptive and perhaps a prescriptive way or model for what biblical community looks like. As Logan said, it's going to take some effort on your part, okay? And it may look different than what you're used to. It may look unconventional, all right? But I guarantee you, once you get plugged in with a group of believers, once you get plugged in with a community group, once you get plugged in with the church that loves you and that's going to support you in your needs and help you grow in your relationship with Christ, your life will be forever changed. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for unconventional belonging. Lord, thank you for a new sense of belonging. Lord, I pray for everyone right now that we all would, that you would just stir something up in our hearts that would want us to go after this new sense of belonging. That whatever it looked like for us to belong to a community of believers before, that maybe we would even throw that out the window and say, hey, Jesus, take over right now. Take over and show me what it looks like to have a new sense of devotion, that I be devoted to the teaching of the elders, that I be devoted to praying for people, that I be devoted to fellowship, to breaking of bread. Lord, I pray that for others, that you would open up their hearts to this idea of a sense of generosity, that we would as a church continue to be generous to those who have a need, and for those of us who have a need, that we would feel open and transparent enough to share with the leaders so that we in turn can meet them right where they're at, Lord. And lastly, I just pray for us as we leave this place that we would leave with a new sense of worship, that we would have a sense of worship that is honoring and uplifting and glorifying to your holy, holy name. Lord, and for anyone this morning who prayed and said, hey, Wes, I just want to know Jesus. I just need to know where to start. Lord, just stay with them. Let your Holy Spirit rest on them right now, that they wouldn't leave this online service, that they wouldn't leave this courtyard without finding someone, without having a leader pray for them. Lord, we love you. We need you. Everything we do is for you. It's for your gospel. Help us to be who you have created us to be. We're going to love you. We're going to thank you. We're going to give you all the praise and glory. Be with us as we start another week. It's in Jesus' mighty, mighty name I pray. And the church said, amen.